CliffCentral.com.
All right, take number 17. Here we go. Hi, everybody. What's happening? Sia, Damon, and Mbulelo in the studio in Johannesburg. And, well, they're not. Only Mbulelo's in the studio in Joburg. Sia is in Durban, and Damon is in his house. How's it, Damon?
Yes, good morning. Thank you. Thank you for giving me a reason to get up in the morning.
Yeah. Oh. Jeez, and
early, That is the reality, man.
All right, guys, so just to check, because I'm not really, like, listening to the feed here. Are we're all okay? Everything's back on?
Are my dogs barking, coming through nice and clearly?
Yeah, I can hear your dogs barking. It sounds great. All right, thanks, Mfundo. Mfundo's just letting me know everything's cool. All right, so we're here and live on a Thursday morning. Lots to talk about. There's a lot going on. Damon, when you first popped into the studio just before the coronavirus went into lockdown and crisis hit, you told me your mother says that lemon and water, hot water, is the first thing to do. Look at me.
Hot water, the squish of, you got your water with lemon there.
I got the lemon, I got the water. I've been doing this every morning, Damon.
And it's worked.
Well, Naomi Calvary, you know, she has some wisdom in her.
She's onto something.
Yeah.
No, it turns out I was a bit blasé about it all, and it turns out that what I said wasn't true.
What do you mean?
This virus acts on a cellular level.
Yeah.
And the hot water with a swish of lemon, it's good maybe for your ordinary influenza, but for this COVID plague, possibly different story. So I apologize.
The plague. Some people are calling it the plague. It's listen, you've got a lot to tell us, because while you're in lockdown, you say you're overeating, you are making more food than ever, you're shopping more than ever, you're getting fatter and fatter. This is not good, Damon.
It's unbelievable. I'm cooking things that I've never cooked before, right. and things that I've only cooked once or twice before.
Like what kind of things?
And cheese. I've only made it once or twice in my whole life.
Yeah.
Then I made it the other day.
Yeah.
And I made I'm making huge things. We have to start giving it to the neighbor.
Oh God.
Etc. etc. I made a tuna lasagna in a pot I've only made it before in my whole life, and it's just been out of hand. I'm shopping 3 days in a row, take one day off, and then go to the shops again. Buying chocolate that you can't believe.
But Damon, this is not.
Now, why? Is this because you have nothing to do?
No, it's very bad. It's very bad. I don't know what to say. Mm. I can't say let's do the lockdown for longer to prove that I can change, because that could be wrong.
No, I think that would be deadly. Would you still keep
that
up?
That would be deadly.
Are you still keeping up your exercise?
How do you do that?
Well, I mean, you could walk.
How do you do that?
You could walk around the apartment.
Apartment, I'm in a house. With a garden, I suppose.
I mean, in your case, it's a house, but for many people, it's the apartment. So you've got a garden. I mean, Jesus, that's more than most people have. You know, I mean, Mbulelo's keeping fit. He's got like a step. You know, one of those steps that you see in the gym?
Yes. That's very good.
That's a great thing, because you can do like little interval jumps and things on those that are pretty cool. I mean, what do you use it for, Mbulelo?
You can do probably 15 different types of sit-ups, push-ups.
Yeah.
Of those, raised, rear raised, front raised, single arm raised.
Dips.
There's all sorts of exercises. Yeah. And then you can do like raised squats. There's, you know, it's an exercise step is probably the most useful tool.
Yeah.
That's all very. I won't be allowed to go buy one.
No, but you know, you can.
Lockdown restrictions.
I mean, you can make an exercise step out of two piles of books, for heaven's sake.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. You could just do push ups because you got two arms as well, by the way, Damon. Just.
You know what? I have been doing a little bit of exercises, but it's more like Pilates exercises.
Yeah, that's good.
I've been doing
stretching and so on.
I've been doing it's where you It's hard. I don't even know what it's called, but I've been doing some Pilates exercises.
Hmm.
So that's something. Oh, that's the, and I've been doing the plank. I've been doing the plank.
Okay, that's good.
Because I see everyone's been planking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a big thing online right now.
But it's a drop in the ocean. I need to be doing, you know, a hell of a lot more.
So, Damon, you're also now a stand-in teacher for your daughter. What have you realized while you've been teaching her?
I realized that the school curriculum is, I don't know, it's a bit suspect.
Why? Just finish that sentence from before. You said, what are we paying for, right? That's what you were going to say.
Yes, what are we paying for? I mean, she's got this, she's 8 years old. She just turned 8. She's in grade 2.
Mm-hmm.
The Jewish studies teacher sent a video.
Yeah.
Watch this video.
Yeah.
It's a video, it's a 2-minute video of Anne Frank, telling the story of Anne Frank.
Mm-hmm.
These kids have not learned anything. They don't know about World War II. They've never heard of Adolf Hitler. They've never heard of the Holocaust at this stage, quite rightfully, because you need to bring that in a bit slowly. But yeah. So then what context is there? But my daughter, she watched this Anne Frank. It meant nothing to her. She didn't have the context. What's the point?
Did she think it was like a game of hide and seek or something?
No, she just thought it was an interesting story about this girl who bought a diary for her birthday, and she chose her own diary, and she was locked up with some people, and then she left the diary behind, and she died, and her father found the diary, but what, she doesn't know the full context. So, you know, with children that age,
I think it's leaving out the most important stuff. I mean, the most interesting thing about Anne Frank is not that her father found her diary after all of this, or that there was a diary in the first place. It's kind of what forced her to go into hiding, and how that shouldn't happen again. You know,
but that's the whole point. These kids haven't learned that yet. So start slowly. Teach them about hate. Teach them about discrimination. Teach them how it all started slowly, and then it ended in the gas chambers and all of that stuff.
Aye.
Yeah, you're right.
It just doesn't make. And what really worries me is that I question the intelligence of whoever's doing this. It's very scary.
Yeah. Well,
it's quite frankly, it's upsetting.
And it's expensive. You're paying a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, not many more. Who's got money to pay?
Well, yeah. I mean, like, that's another thing, is everybody's looking at what's going on at the moment. I believe you say you've never been this poor in your life.
Well, this is what you do. And you go through the trauma. You think your whole life you've had medical aid.
Mm-hmm.
You've had this white privileged upbringing. So, that's the truth. And you had this, you need to accept it's very traumatic. But you have to accept, hey, you know, all for the next year or two. And you don't, there's the only thing you have to pay for, you cancel all your debit orders, you move whatever money you've got left into another bank account, and whatever you only pay for fiber, for internet fiber. That's all you pay for.
And Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Yeah, and you pay for food. You've got to pay for food if you've got money. And that's all you do for now. That's all you do for now.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, you've got. So, do you have a bond in the house still?
We can't. Sorry, can't pay.
Oh, really? Is that what you just told the bank? Sorry, can't pay.
We with FNB.
Yeah.
FNB sent us some COVID relief thing on our apps, and I started filling it in yesterday, and I didn't finish it. I got distracted. I must finish it off today. I think they're going to give us a 3-month reprieve or something.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Sure.
This is the thing. If this is happening to us, can you imagine what's happening to 80% of the country or at least half the country?
Listen, this is going to be a very world? Tough time for people. And very, very few people have even started to realize this. But I don't want to get too depressing first thing in the morning.
No, it's difficult. That's a chance you took when you invited me on this show. I'm gonna try and lighten it up.
It's part and parcel.
All right, now I mean, this is kind of comical. You know, I've been watching a lot of Larry David because he's almost like my catharsis. When I feel like my life is a disaster, I watch Larry David. Because this guy's got lots of money, and he's got this really cool life, and he's got all these famous friends, and he lives in L.A., and he really doesn't have serious worries, but his life is full of problems because they're mostly self-created problems. And when I watch that show, I always feel, you know, it's not about how much you have or where you live or whether or not you've made a creative impact on the world, which he's done all three in spade loads. It's actually about, like, your daily life and what you do and how you treat people, and he's a disaster, right? I mean, it's obviously a show, so it's dramatized, but I think in real life, like, Larry David's probably like that. And I watch the show.
I think of you.
I think of Damon, because the kinds of things that Larry David does, he just takes this humorous approach to life and everything that happens to him.
Well,
he just has to deal with.
Well, funny you should say that. I spoke about my sister.
Yes.
So I'm doing her pills. I have to fill up her pills into the container once a week. Just once a week to fetch the pill container.
Yeah.
I observe. Because between the two of them, they can't get a pill container together. That's how they got into this mess in the first place. Because it's just too complicated for them. They didn't even have a pill. Anyway, to cut a long story short, they arrive at the house yesterday.
Yeah.
They drive in and they're sitting in their car. Mm-hmm. Because I won't let them out the car because the show showed social distancing. You stay in the car.
Right.
And I grab the pull container with like a long pair of tongs and I quickly his face mask upside down and his nose is fully exposed. First of all, why are they wearing face masks? Because it's just the two of them in the car. They're not going anywhere else. They're just coming to my house. So why are they wearing face masks anyway? So then his nose is exposed. My wife, Bernice, says to me, Leonard, your mask is upside down. And he just looks at her, my sister, on top of her head.
No, you lie.
She's wearing a yarmulke.
She's got the mask on her head. No,
she's got the mask on her head. like she's breathing through the top of her head. I wish we had a video.
And let me just understand.
I think my wife,
they've come all the way to you just so you can fill their pill box.
Yes, thank God they could find my house. That's thank God they could do that.
Damon,
you know
how many different pills and how many different days? I mean, is it a mathematical equation that you have to do?
Well, let me tell you, Gareth. It is complicated. There's seven pills in the morning and seven pills in the evening, and they're all different.
Jesus.
But the pills, some are the same in the morning, and some are and in the evening they're different.
How do you know you've got it right?
I know. We've got it typed out, and it's now in my memory. Or Nuggy.
Oh my God.
Don't make him doubt himself. I mean, that's the last thing we need.
So 2 milligrams of 2 milligrams of Zoxodon in the morning, 3 milligrams of Zoxodon in the evening.
Oh, geez.
Two pulls of 500 milligrams epilazine and another 300 milligrams of epilazine. Oh, then there's a new one, a Xenophil, 15 milligrams and a 10 milligram tablet in the morning. Then you've got your diabetic medic. I know the whole thing, man.
Jesus.
It's like I become a chemist. It's like I become a chemist, man.
It's phenomenal. Yeah. This is quite something. And they come to your house once a week.
Well, we thought we would get two pill boxes and to cut it down.
Yeah.
Go to the pharmacy. The pharmacy don't give me all the pills. I can only fill one week's loads worth.
Mm. Now, these two are both on the pills. It's not just one of them, right? It's not just your sister.
No, the other one probably should be, but no, it's just my sister.
Oh.
But people say to me, "You're such a good brother." I say to them, "What the hell? If I didn't do it, then I'd be a terrible person. Who the hell's going to do their pulls?"
Damon, are you worried about the two of them after coronavirus has passed over and everything's gone and we have this economy where a lot of people will lose jobs? Are these two going to be all right?
That is the funny thing. Irony.
Yeah.
They're actually going to be fine. because he's actually got a job where he can work, where he hasn't lost it. He can work from home. He does like a credit bureau job. He does, it's not a problem.
Jesus. And she's,
can you believe it?
What does she do? Nothing.
Well, what can she do?
Oh.
She wants to come help me in the perfume business again.
Aye, aye, aye. You don't want that. If she can't put the right pills in the right box, she's going to make the perfumes.
I said to her, this is a problem. We've just retrenched all our staff. I got no money. I can't employ you. You'd have to work for free. Okay.
Oh, okay.
She can work for free.
Yeah, but you're not. She's not useful to you because she can't really do anything.
No, she's getting. No, funnily enough, well, that's what Bernice said. Actually, she said, "You know, what is she going to do?" So I'm trying to be an optimist. Maybe she can do something.
Now, speaking of things that people are doing, your dishwasher apparently broke, which I think happened to a few people during lockdown. And, if you have major machinery break, apparently it is an essential service to get someone in to repair it. But your dishwasher broke, and that means you and Bernice have now also taken to washing the dishes by hand again, right?
You know what?
And you two go through some dishes.
I grew up my whole life with no dishwasher. I only started having a dishwasher in the last 12 years since I've been with Bernice.
I've never had a dishwasher.
Do you have one now?
Well, no. I mean, I use so few dishes because when it's just me, then,
We accumulate dishes
like
you have no idea.
Yeah.
A whole lot of – so shame. So Bernice cut her hand.
Right.
So quite a deep cut. So I said, does this mean I must wash the dishes now? Now, that's a joke. Isn't that obviously a joke? Hey, it's obviously a joke.
So what did she say?
Oh, no.
Did she have a temper tantrum?
Oh, no.
She got quite aggressive. She was very upset with me. You only think of yourself, this and that. You only think about your own car. I said, oh, no. And then I told her, I'm joking.
Aye.
I don't think she accepts it.
Oh, gee.
Yeah.
So much to catch up on here.
But
you know what? You know what?
Yeah.
Not having a dishwasher is really not a big deal.
No.
Being for laundry, that's another story. Washing your clothes in a bath, really, that's really horrible. It's not, you're never going to wash your clothes as well as a washing machine. And so thank God the washing machine at least works.
Mm. Yeah. That I think is a fairly important thing. But Mbulelo, you still hanging up your underwear in Sia's office to dry? Speaking of doing your washing,
you'd hate to break a good habit, you know.
Yeah, and you did say that's the best room for sun, and it's nice and airy, and you've got like a line across from his chair to the wall.
I have to be honest. I didn't choose the room. The room chose my underwear. So you can't find a good thing.
You owe me a full-on like office scrub. After
can you not put up a washing line in the car park?
No, Damon. I don't want to get involved.
That's quite a sunny area.
I don't want to get involved in all of that. You know, I'd hate to expose the public to it. It's Sears' office is inside. It's well ventilated. The sunlight's unbelievable, Damon. You could shoot a Hollywood movie in there. So
it's north facing. That's lovely.
There we go. There's Damon.
Don't encourage this.
So guys, I got to ask you something because I've seen. We were joking with Pumi on Tuesday about how Shepherd Bushiri has just relaunched his church online, and there are so many of these pastors who are suddenly finding new ways to charge people money and to connect to their flock via the internet. But I'm telling you, this is a great time, and I think, Bulelo, you're going to agree with me. Like, if you're a cult leader, right now is terrific, because in a time of plague, in a time where people are financially in trouble, in a time where families are getting on each other's nerves and the kids are at home the whole time, and you also, you know, the atmosphere is laden with conspiracy theories.
That's the thing.
Did the Chinese invent this virus in a lab? And is it a bioweapon? And do the Americans know what they're doing? And maybe it's being used by the Illuminati and the global world order. So if you're in a cult, this is prime time, man.
Gareth, this whole situation has all the conspiracy theorists, the people with brain injuries, the plain stupid, the gullible, they've all come out of the woodwork.
Get your point.
They've all come out of the woodwork, and it's all on social media, but it's got really bad. But it's got really bad because myself, I regard myself as like relatively like knowledgeable and relatively informed. But even I'm getting confused. I don't even know what to believe anymore.
Like what? Like honestly, what kind of stuff are you reading?
Okay, this a classic one, which has created so much confusion and conflict within the house.
What?
So this one professor gave a talk, and his video was on the social media, saying that they did a sample group in America, somewhere in California, in Santa something.
Mm-hmm.
A sample group of people, and they found that 85% or 85 times more people automatic have tested positive for the coronavirus.
Right, and they have no symptoms.
Well, this epidemic is being completely blown out of proportion.
Yeah.
But this is the thing. Even if it is blown out of proportion, that proportion is still damn serious.
Well,
you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's funny. We had a discussion on this just yesterday on the show, because they've done similar surveys in Massachusetts and in Sweden, and they found the same thing, is that a lot of people don't even know that they've had it. And they've already got over it, and it might just be that everybody's overreacted. You know, I mean, we might have done completely the wrong thing. Now, I don't think that's conspiracy theory. I'm talking, Mbulelo, you know what I'm talking about? These total lunatics, the ones who've started groups like the apocalypse is coming and it's the end times, and you better make sure that you're in the group of people who are going to be raptured by God. You know what I'm talking about, those people.
I do. They're lunatics. So right now, so how you analyze medical data so that we don't have this madness is something called forest plotting, right? So they're these forest plots.
Oh, you mentioned that yesterday. What is that?
Yeah, so if you want to kind of predict and correlate information from multiple events to predict what may happen, these really, really smart people do this thing called forest plotting.
Mm-hmm.
So that's so that you can eliminate the emotion and just look at the numbers and a multitude of factors, not just, oh, there's people that are asymptomatic. There's reasons for that. If you're in Sweden, there may be very good reason. People live apart. People are healthy. People aren't stressed. We know that helps with the immune system. So they'll forest plot these things, which is why you haven't really heard from genuine geneticists, the real scientists.
These guys who've released these studies that Damon's talking about, they actually are epidemiologists. But you're saying sometimes, you know, it might be other factors that are extrinsic to the actual disease. It might be environmental. It might be.
Yeah. And I was talking to somebody who's in the game and works at the Large Hadron Collider, and so we're talking the top end of science.
But that guy's not going to know about epidemiology either.
He's colliding things.
They're correlating data. They're still correlating data. I mean, he's working with scientists around the world to correlate data, so he's...
Yeah, but with all due respect, if you know everything about the Higgs boson, that doesn't mean you know anything about... I mean, Sia, this bothers you as well. You've got like an uncle who's starting to tell you about COVID-19 every goddamn day. Everyone has this expert in their families who's now suddenly, you know, knows everything about the coronavirus. We've got to ignore these people, really.
Well, I just humbly and was very proud of myself for sticking to my guns on this. I very respectfully and humbly ended a conversation saying, I'm really not going to have this right now. I'm going to get into a frenzy as we're both swapping information. Meanwhile, we don't even know the difference between a test tube and a straw. So let's just calm down. And let the professionals deal with this.
No.
People are, what amazes me is that the people are criticizing and questioning of public health, professors of epidemiology. They are, I found it's extremely arrogant. It's crazy to be arguing about these things. But at the same time, during this whole weird, surreal situation we're in, I'll be scrolling down my Twitter page. It's a press release for the new iPhone.
Oh yeah,
Where? Huh?
Oh, really? Are they launching a new iPhone in the middle of all of this?
I tweeted, this new iPhone will look lovely next to my ventilator. There was an advert, Suzuki. There was a story about the new Suzuki.
Yeah.
So, huh? Could we be thinking about buying a new car at this at this stage that we're in at the moment?
Right.
It just seems so weird. It's just crazy stuff.
Well, there's so much weird news at the moment. You'd be forgiven for thinking that everything has gone tits up. I mean, listen to this story. So we go into the headlines, the five things you need to know this morning. Brand South Africa, you know, that's the company that is in charge of marketing South Africa to the rest of the world, right? Brand South Africa's Board of Trustees member, Teboho Mamorobela, has on Wednesday been suspended after she breached the lockdown regulations. It's understood an inquiry into her possible misconduct and bringing the organization into disrepute has been instituted. Charges were laid against her in Limpopo after she allegedly hosted a lockdown party in contravention of government's laws. Apparently, the minister in the presidency has welcomed her suspension. His spokesperson said the minister views these allegations in a very serious light. So people are still having lockdown parties. And, by the way, I saw that they now, what's her name, the minister who went to visit that dude for lunch?
Stella Abrams.
So she has been charged and she had to pay an admission of guilt fine. And she now has a criminal record for going to that guy for lunch. Just madness.
And the fine of like R1,000.
R1,000, yeah. Well, she's an ordinary citizen. She shouldn't have to pay more. Everybody gets treated the same way by the law. That's important.
So she's got a criminal record.
Yeah, you get a criminal record. If you pay an admission of guilt fine, you're a criminal. You're admitting to being a criminal.
She can't get into America now or whatever she'd be doing with the taxpayers' money in the future.
No, I don't
think... You can't be a member of Parliament.
I don't think it's that important. No. It's not like that at all. This is an admission of an infraction. It's not a...
Okay,
my speeding thing. It's never got in the way. You know, it's never been like an issue to me being able to do things. I mean, if you've done a serious thing, if you murdered somebody or whatever, then obviously that kind of thing counts.
Okay, different story, yeah.
But these are minor infractions and regulation breaking. Anyway, here's an interesting story. Yeah. FNB Stadium, they're going to turn into a treatment center for COVID-19 patients. Now, I went to the World Cup in 2010. I went to a few matches there. We're coming up to June, July, which is around about the time, July, August, that they had the World Cup in South Africa 2010, right? And I can tell you now, FNB Stadium is freezing, freezing cold at this time of year. It's in a slight depression. It's between those mine dumps. It's on that big open plain from Nasrec. The wind howls down there. It's a particularly miserable place to be. And if they're going to put up a field hospital there, I mean, people are – I think I'd rather die of COVID-19 than have to go to that.
maybe they'll build a cover like a – Like a tarpaulin, like a tent kind of cover.
I'm thinking maybe
it'll be a big one.
Maybe they'll use the spaces inside the stadium because there are a lot of those.
Suites.
Yeah, maybe. Or they've got like spaces underground as well. So I don't think they're necessarily going to put people out on the field. Yeah.
No. That wouldn't make sense.
Yeah, but also, if you look at what they did in New York in the Java Center, for example, so they create all these cubicles. The Java Center had 2,500
beds.
Cubicles. So, yeah.
Just by the way, they never used those, huh? You know that they never had to use
any. They used a small percentage.
A very little. And that hospital ship that came in up the Hudson River, they haven't used that. So,
yes, but Gareth, that's
panic,
a good
panic,
thing.
Panic.
No, but the thing is, Gareth, that turned into a criticism. It should have been a case of, it's a good thing we were prepared. Thank God we didn't have to use them. Instead, it gets twisted into you overreacted.
Total overreaction.
Rather overreact than underreact.
No.
Am I wrong? Obviously, I'm wrong.
You're wrong because
I'm wrong.
The greatest city in the world is like a ghost town right now, and the world economy is put on hold. For what? For like 2% of the beds in Javits Center to be filled. Do me a favor.
Yes, but in all fairness, Garrett, this is an unprecedented situation.
No. Prove
it.
Can't
be so overcritical.
Prove it to me. There are less deaths here than there are from the flu every year, even in countries where it's gone crazy, like Italy and Spain. It's just a nonsense. I'm telling you, this is going to be one of our most embarrassing episodes in human history. People are going to look back on this and go, what a bunch of idiots lived in 2020.
Yeah, but what choice
Alexa's,
do we have?
Alexa's going to learn about this in high school, and she's going to come home and point at you and laugh.
Oh, that's a little dramatic.
They say, what the hell was wrong with you and your friends, Dad? You're a bunch of morons, you people your age running.
So all the bodies part. So all the bodies piling up.
Where are these bodies? Show me the bodies. A lot of bullshit. Where are these
Garrett,
bodies? Where are
that
these
That sounds
bodies?
Like a line from
Over
a movie.
Over 140,000 people have died.
Damon, you just told me about your daughter learning about Anne Frank, okay? The numbers there in World War II and in the Holocaust, that's staggering. That's frightening. That's a number. God damn it. There are just over 100,000 people in the world who've died from this thing. In this country, 58 people so
because
far.
Because we've had the lock.
Oh, you buy that? What's wrong
lockdown
with you?
Has, the lockdown you know has what? Prevented it.
You've fallen for the biggest conspiracy theory of all. The one that the,
really?
That the doctors and the government have put out. I'm telling you.
Gareth, how do you know better than Professor Karim? How do you know
just
better?
Just look at the numbers. And Professor Karim is the one who told Report newspaper the other day he actually has no idea of what the infection rate in the townships are. You know why? Because they haven't been keeping records. How's that? You're going to trust a guy who doesn't even know how to keep records?
This is a difficult, unprecedented situation.
Yeah, you can believe that. There's plenty. You know what? You go and watch ENCA where they've got a constant ticker tape at the bottom of like, oh, emergency, coronavirus, crisis, CNN, Sky News, all of them, crisis, crisis, crisis. And they're drumming up ratings. And then they've got dramatic music playing the whole time. It's ridiculous.
So we must. So there shouldn't be a lockdown.
You've probably already had it.
I know. I probably have had it.
Yeah. So what are we doing? How many people die in car accidents every single year?
Car accidents aren't contagious.
We're not banning cars, are we?
Oh.
You know what is contagious? Ebola. And you know what? We didn't have to shut down the world economy to stop Ebola in its tracks, did we?
What are you?
SARS,
what
MERS.
Would you do?
These things are also contagious. Just carry
on. What would you do? What would you do?
You know what? This is the point. It's going to take a lot of people out at the knees. It's going to take out some very vulnerable people. It's going to hurt a lot of people. I mean, I look at my parents, for example, right? They should stay.
You're willing to take them out?
No, they should stay quarantined. We should all stay away from them. They should be in their house. They shouldn't be allowed out until we know for a fact that we've either got a vaccine or this thing has been quelled. And if they do go out, they got to wear the masks and all the other stuff. But for me, I'm not putting on a mask. I'm not putting on gloves. And I don't think it's necessary that I get locked down in my house. Really? You deal with people in two different ways. The people who are highly vulnerable and susceptible, you don't say to them, well, we're going to just leave you to die. No one said that. That would be outrageous. What we're saying is you treat people according to the condition that they're in. So if you are highly vulnerable and susceptible, you must be treated carefully and you must take your own health very seriously. But you don't tell Sia, Mbulelo, Gareth, and Damon to have to stay at home because of your health. You look after your health. You stay at home. You guard against yourself getting this thing and you take the hit from the economy because you can't work because you've got to prioritize your health, I'm afraid. If you're not vulnerable,
go out and work. But the thing is, Gareth, it's not only old and vulnerable people that have died. 20-year-olds
Damon,
have died.
The figures are there are now figures. You can go and look this up on any number of websites. Don't take my word for it. In fact, take the World Health Organization's word for it, an organization that hasn't covered themselves in glory because they stood up for the Chinese. Go and look at their figures because I'm not one of those people who believes everything they're doing is made up. If you look at the figures from the World Health Organization and you look at how many people under the age of 70 have died from this thing, it is a tiny single-digit percentage. Out of everyone on Earth who's died from this
thing, still a lot of people.
Less than 10% Less than 10% of all the deaths, Damon, is people under 70. So all those people under 70, the risk is so low. You've got a better chance of getting cancer by breathing in polluted air, for God's sake.
Oh.
Really?
But it's still a lot of people.
Oh, but what, you're going to stop all death? Are you going to go outside there and prevent death from happening? Humans have been dying for centuries. Something's going to get you.
I think we're going to build towards what you are. They will lift certain restrictions, certain things up, and mm-hmm. it'll be that kind of scenario that you just painted will come into fruition.
I hope so, but the only reason I'm reacting like this is because of FNB Stadium. I don't want to go to FNB Stadium.
Is that how you make a point?
this whole thing has just been about FNB Stadium.
Well, yeah, stay at home, stay healthy, and you won't need to go there.
Right. Here's some economic news. South African unit of Toyota could see its production.
We're still on the five things.
Yes, I know. A South African unit of Toyota could see its production drop by 15 to 20% in 2020, its president and CEO said on Wednesday.
Shame.
Yeah, the division had already lost production of around 13,500 units due to a nationwide lockdown set to last for 5 weeks, and the annual production volume normally stands at around 135 to 150,000 units. So I think car manufacturers, we don't even know what the stats there are. We must speak to George Meany tomorrow about it, because I reckon car sales have just fallen right out. I mean, he said they were the same.
Everything's fallen.
He said they were the same the other day because a lot of people buy cars and sell cars online.
No.
But you still have to check out.
No,
you know,
you
still have to see the car. And I don't believe anyone right now is prioritizing buying a new car.
I sold my car a couple of weeks before this lockdown.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I would never have been able to sell my car. Yes, you do things online. Physically come and look at your car.
Yeah.
So, no, you can't be selling cars in the middle of this lockdown.
Hey, here's some really great news, international news now. Iran have launched a satellite into orbit. So they've now got rocket technology. This is great news, Iran, that totally stable place in the Middle East.
Put behind, didn't somebody send a rocket in the late 60s or something, or 1959?
Well, they're a bit behind, but they've launched a satellite called Nur, which is the name for light. Reached an orbit of 425 kilometers after being carried on a three-stage Qassid launcher. The success of the launch has not been verified independently, so we're really just going on Iran's word here. And I don't know whether we can believe them. What do you think?
What are they launching rockets at a time like this?
Well, it's a satellite. They might be.
What is it?
They might be just doing topographical mapping for all we know.
Damon, anything with a launch right now clearly isn't a favorite of yours. Launching of a satellite, launching of a car, launching of a phone.
You're not into
launch vaccine. That's what we need. Launch.
Yeah. So if you're if you're in Iran, mazel tov.
They keep on changing the story as well about the vaccine.
Yeah, well,
that a vaccine's going to, somewhere in Oxford University or something, they're going to have a vaccine in September. Then you'll read another story, vaccine in 2 years' time. Make up your mind when you come in after this vaccine.
We don't have a vaccine for Ebola, do we? Do we have, do we have a vaccine for SARS and MERS? I don't think we do.
I think they kind of died out themselves.
So the point I'm making is precisely the point I made when I had my tirade about FNB Stadium. But even if we have a vaccine, I mean, people go for the flu shot every year. It doesn't mean they don't get the flu.
It lowers your potential by like 80% or 70% of getting the flu. You might still get, and if you get the flu, it won't be as bad.
And you get a different type of flu every year. You're not getting the same flu as before.
So how do we know this thing doesn't mutate as well?
We don't know.
They said it mutates.
Exactly. So we're pinning all of our hopes on a vaccine, and then that vaccine.
Apparently there's 30. mutations of this COVID-19, according to the story I read yesterday.
So we're all in lockdown and we're all shitting ourselves in our house. And then
the thing,
they develop a vaccine, and then it's the wrong vaccine.
This takes me back to my original point. Who are you to criticize this vaccine? You don't know. What do you know about vaccines? How do you know the vaccine can't handle all the different mutations? You don't know that.
I don't know that, but I also don't know.
Exactly.
What I do know is that if you don't have a job and you don't have money, you starve. That I know. That's for sure.
No, the government's giving you 350 rand a month.
When you take off like ANC,
that's three products at Woolworths.
But when you take off ANC corruption, which is at least 20%, because you know they're going to be distributing it, then you're left with maybe 250, maybe 300 out of the 350 rand. Now you're down to two products from Woolworths. It's not enough, Damon.
If you wanted two products from Woolworths, what would you choose?
I don't have two things. What I have
the nice pan, the nice pancake with the barbecue chicken inside. That's nice. Ugh,
no. Because I've never bought this many groceries. I mean, I don't eat usually. I don't eat at home. I never have fresh stuff. I never have milk in my fridge. I use that Long Life milk. So I've had to go to the shops a couple of times during this lockdown, maybe three, and.
You know how it all works.
I'm not spending a huge amount of money because it's just me. Damon, the one thing I made that you're going to love, I did mushrooms on toast. Okay, this is like a fried mushroom with some lemon juice and salt and pepper and butter. You fry it in a pan, and then you make some toast. And I don't even have a toaster, so I have to make it in the oven.
I don't have a toaster.
Why would I? How often do I use a toaster? If I had a toaster, this would be the first time that I'd ever used it in 10 years. So why have a toaster?
And you knew how to put the oven on. That's amazing.
Well, I had to figure that out. But the point is, I made this delicious mushroom on toast for breakfast the other day. I felt like Gordon Ramsay. I thought I was so clever.
Sharing and abusing.
What?
That you could swear it and abuse.
I think you went full Ramsey.
If you got the Gordon Ramsey.
There was no one I could swear it and abuse.
You could shout at the mirror.
I could shout at the dog.
Oh, the dog.
Paul doesn't deserve
I bathed. I bathed my dog 2 days ago and had to give him a trim. So I'm learning to do lots of things that I would have paid other people to do that I'm now going to do.
Uh-huh.
So I'm afraid there are lots of other jobs that are going to be lost because Carl's out of the... You know, he's out of circulation as a possible income earner for some people. Because I used to get him groomed. Now I can do it myself. I don't need to do that.
Yeah. No, Bernice and I, we cut our dogs just the other day.
Yeah.
How did that go?
It's not, we've done it before. It's really not pleasant. It's not easy.
Oh, no, it's difficult.
The hair and the dog moves and you... Somebody's going to hold the dog's head and there's hair all over them. And did I mention there's hair all over the place? It gets in your... Oh, no.
All right. Do you want one more story? Because we're still on the five things.
Oh, okay.
So here's the last story for the morning. Coronavirus story. The president, Donald Trump of the United States, has signed an executive order to temporarily suspend the approval of green cards. He's basically,
immigration.
He said, no more immigration, no more. We've closed the borders. Not a single person will be able to immigrate to the United States now. So wherever you are in the world, that's where you're going to stay. All right, but just deal with
it. Who's he going to marry now if no immigrants can come in?
Well, he's got a wife, you idiot.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. He's got a thing about marrying foreign ones, and he's divorced a couple. So Ivanka...
Donald Trump's had three wives.
Who's to say he's not going to move on?
He's had three wives, and two of them were from foreign countries, Eastern Europe, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. As Gilbert,
so he's got a thing
as Gilbert Gottfried says, and Donald Trump, who has Eastern European whores.
That's what I'm saying.
What nationality... What nationality will his next wife be? Chinese?
Who's he going to marry next?
Well,
some person from China.
I don't think he's got a next wife lined up. I think this one's for keeps. She's in great condition. You know,
can we not talk about her like the state of a car?
Like a horse.
Wait, what are you talking about?
Somebody, Gareth.
Great condition.
Apparently, they say that the marriage isn't so good.
Oh, yeah?
Somebody might sweep her off her feet, somebody else, like maybe Steve Mnuchin or whatever his name is. And
Steve Mnuchin.
Whatever. So she might move on. Who's to say, you know, why be so sexist,
please,
to say
if Hillary Clinton, if Hillary Clinton stuck with Bill after he got that blowjob from Monica Lewinsky, this one's going to stick around with Donald. She knows what she's.
No,
she's married.
No,
to
but it's different.
She's married to one of the richest men.
It's different.
He's the president of the United States. Like, no one has done better in their life than Donald Trump.
Yeah.
There's no way she's going to leave him. What's she going to go back? What, go back to Slovenia?
Yeah, but Hillary was the money.
Hillary wants.
That's the difference. The difference is Hillary comes from legacy family.
She doesn't.
The money.
She and Bill. So both, in this case, no. That's not true. She and Bill are both from very, very ordinary, very middle-class families in Arkansas. That's not true, Mbulelo. You must do your research.
Hillary had a terrible upbringing.
Yeah. And so did Bill. They both grew up quite poor, actually. I mean, if you look at the house...
Hold on. I'm in my study. Hold on.
Oh, he's just going to get the book and reference.
Here, I've got
Those books aren't just for show.
No, here's My Life by President Bill Clinton. And I'm going to go to the picture.
Oh, story time.
All right, it's story time. So Bill Clinton grew up in this shit house. You got to see it. It's terrible. There's a picture of him standing in...
No dishwasher.
No, forget dishwasher. No. He had no money. So Bill's mom, poor. He was at the Hot Springs High School. Here's with his dad. I mean, they're a very, very ordinary American family. No, there's no serious money there.
But Gareth, they had cameras. They could take photos.
Are we surprised that the man who went to Hot Spring High School ended up with extramarital affairs?
Hot Springs High School. Wait, I've got something else to show you. You want to see something cool?
What?
Hold on. Have you got a secret room behind that bookcase, maybe?
It's in Jesus College.
I've got something to show you.
Look who's here in this picture.
It's me with
Bill Clinton. Can you see that?
Uh-huh. It's a shopping.
And he's busy saying to me, what you want to do is give her the two-finger surprise.
No! Let's not ruin that.
What's it?
What was that?
One in the pink and one in the stink or something. Well, what is the expression?
That's exactly what he was telling me, Damon. How did you know?
This conversation is doing wonders for me this morning.
Bill Clinton. I met him before, but this was at the. I was at the St. Paul Church in New York when we did the tribute to Nelson Mandela after he died. So it was February 2014. And I remember I said to him then, because Hillary hadn't run yet against Donald Trump. Obviously, that election was 2 years away. And I said to him, Mr. President, is your wife going to run? Because she hadn't even announced yet. And he went, well, I don't know, but she'd be a great candidate if she did. You know, they prop each other up publicly anyway. I'm sure behind the scenes they fight, but he was good about her. So anyway, so not rich, Mbulelo. And this whole thing about Melania comes from, I don't know, she probably was a dairy maid in Slovenia or something. Now she have all money, lots of fashions. She have young Baron who talk like her. He got accent like Slovenian accent. And when she got out of that crate at the airport, you know, when Donald imported her, she was happy for freedom, Jesus, for liberty, for America. You know? don't knock it. It's good. All right, well, Dave.
I've got a question for you very quickly that Google wouldn't tell me last night.
All right, go ahead.
He posted to say Michelle Obama could possibly be a running mate to Joe Biden. Would you support this? So I was saying no. You have to have some kind of... in public office, don't you have to have some kind of that you can't just come from. She's never been a politician or in public
president
service.
President of America is a reality.
How does it work?
What are you talking about?
Well, first of all,
out the bag now.
First of all, Michelle Obama cannot be his vice presidential candidate because he needs to have a woman running.
Stop.
No. Gareth, that's not nice.
Okay, it's thank you. Now. Is that good? Are you happy with that answer? Can we move on?
A proper answer. From a legal point of view, could she be a running mate?
Could she? With those big hands?
You so in other words, you don't know the answer.
Bulelo. Does she have, big, woman. Very big bony, manly hands, huh?
Hey, if the glove don't quit...
You must have
quit. You got to quit. Exactly what would have happened with her as well.
This misogynist behavior is unacceptable. Just admit you can't answer the question.
What did the coronavirus steal your sense of humor? No, he's probably going to go with one of the people who ran as a presidential candidate alongside him. You know, he'll have to go with and he does have to have a woman. So it's got to be Kamala Harris, who'll be terrible, or it'll be Elizabeth Warren, who'll be terrible. Could be Amy Klobuchar, which could be quite an interesting decision for him to take. If he did that, I think he'd probably score a few extra votes because, you know, she's a Midwest senator. She's in one of those states which Trump thinks he can win, which the Democrats.
Amy Klobuchar didn't know who the president of Mexico was.
Yeah, do you?
No, I don't, but I'm not running for president.
Yeah, but it's not a general
It's Lopez Obrador.
Are you kidding me? Joe Biden doesn't even know what today is. Joe Biden isn't sure where the hell he lives. Joe Biden isn't sure whether his name is Joe or something else. He's completely senile. And you're worried about Amy Klobuchar not knowing the name of the president of Mexico?
He has shown subtle signs of senility.
Correct.
He's not completely senile. He's just shown some signs.
Damon, I would rather expect Bill Clinton to rattle off the names of all the women he's had sex with and know that I'd get a better answer than if I asked Joe Biden what 3 + 8 is. I know I'd get a better answer from Bill, and it would be more accurate. Come on.
Okay, but you still – look, you didn't answer my question.
What do you want me to say? Michelle Obama, she's not a candidate. And she said, in her own words.
I'm just asking from a legal point of view. I'm just asking you about Constitution of America.
I could choose any American citizen over the age of, 30 or whatever it is.
That's the answer. Thank you.
But
the answer I was looking for.
He's got to choose someone who's going to bring him votes that he can't bring himself. And frankly, at this point, if I were a Democrat, I would be depressed. Not just about coronavirus, but about the fact that my party is so useless that the best we can find is Joe Biden. Holy mother of God. And I mean, you going up against someone who's terrifically unpopular. Like Donald Trump, among Democrats, is one of the most unpopular people ever to sit in the White House. And yet, I mean, it's just unreal how they've screwed this up. They couldn't be worse.
It's not good.
It's terrible.
It's not good.
Damon, it's really good to catch up with you. Is there anything else you want to tell us about this incredible life of yours, this almost like a TV show life that you and Bernice live? Anything we left out? She cut her hand on the dishes while she was washing the dishes.
One last question.
You're poorer than ever. You're eating more than anything. Go on.
Is there any reason why we can't our fragrances? Why can't we courier our fragrances?
You mean the government is preventing you from earning your living?
Yes. Yeah, so what happened was they lifted things and they said you can courier, you can courier deodorants, but we told we can't courier our fragrances. What's the difference between us?
Has it ever occurred to you that you can break the law and just courier them anyway and say that there's something else in the packaging?
Because we might get caught.
And then what? You're going to send you to jail for currying a fragrance?
No, the consequences are terrible. Okay. They give you a huge fine, like 5,000 rand or something.
Oh, please. If they gave Stellander Benny Abrams an admission of guilt fine of 1,000 rand, you'll be okay. Trust me. And all you have to do is tell them you've got no money.
No, they don't care about that.
I would break the law if I were
interesting.
You. Interesting. I'd break the law. It's an immoral.
Oh, really?
It's an immoral law. It's preventing you and your wife from earning money to feed your kid and to live. And I think you've got to earn a living. And you, if it means that they're going to make stupid and capricious legislation that's going to prevent you from earning a living, you need to break those laws. Just because it's a law doesn't mean it's right. I mean, apartheid taught us that, right? You know, white people can't marry black people. Why? Because it's the law. It's still wrong. Fuck the law. Go ahead.
Okay.
Damon, write on the packaging, tin of soup or something. And then just...
I'll write deodorant.
Deodorant. There we go.
Okay.
Don't let this thing make you even more poor.
I'll see.
All right, cool. I hope we've solved at least one problem for you.
So what are you going to do now for the next hour?
Oh, we've got the burning platform coming up.
Okay.
Which is always good. But thank you for joining us, Damon, and we will catch up with you shortly. It's nice to see you again. All right, thank you. There's Damon,
all the best.
Damon Calvari, everybody. Let me just tell you that when we have had technical problems, it's not from the studio side. It's usually my home internet because I don't have iConnect at home, and I might have to do something about that when the lockdown is over because we are staying connected through the lockdown with iConnect. You could do that too for just 199 Rand. Now, in this time, you're going to have to find ways to make a saving, right? And if your internet's costing you more than this, you need to think about iConnect. Just 199 Rand per user per month with no contract or setup fee. With this deal, you get a remote voice extension, a soft phone or desktop app, 200 minutes free voice bundle, and a free iConnect inbound number. So if you've got some kind of a landline, you should also get rid of that at this point because, I mean, you might as well have one of those rotary phones, you know, where you turn the dial. And click, 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 click. You really need to come into the 21st century. So this is one thing. Damon even said it. You do not, no matter how poor you are, you cancel your bond repayments, you cancel all your debit orders, you even cancel medical aid, but he said you cannot cancel your internet. And he's right. It's like a Maslow's hierarchy of need, as Sia pointed out, and this is at the top of the needs pyramid. All right, everybody, we're going to come back with a burning platform, joined by our repeat offender, Canthan Pillay, and Russell Lamberti, who I'm thrilled to have on the show this morning. I've also got some emails from listeners that I want to read out and a couple of other messages that have come in. So lots to get to. Russell Lamberti, of course, the founder of investment advisory firm ETM Macro Advisors. I'm thrilled to have everybody join us this morning for the Burning Platform. That's coming up next. CliffCentral.com. Thanks for listening to CliffCentral.com. Podcasts of all our shows are always available on the website, the Cliff Central app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.